this.
Reading is from Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 12 through to 15. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is the word of the Lord.
Morning. Thank you for the reading. Let's pray before I start. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this passage we've heard this morning. And we pray that you would give us ear to hear and hearts to receive what you want to say to each one of us this morning. Amen. So Romans chapter 10. So this is part of a letter that Paul wrote to the Roman church. It was a church that was mainly made up of people who came from a non-Jewish background, although there was also a sizable Jewish background minority in the church. And the main theme of Paul's letter is of God's plan of salvation for all, for Jew and for non-Jew alike. And in this part of the letter, Paul has been demonstrating that Israel has no claim for special treatment from God. They'd received the word of God and had had the opportunity to believe it. And in verses 5 to 11, just before the part we heard read, Paul points out that salvation is basically simple. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's worth noting that for Paul and for his hearers, when they talked about the heart, they didn't think of it as only the seat of our emotions, but it was also where they believed people had that their will and their intellect were. And so believing in your heart isn't just an emotion, but it's also a decision, an act of the will. And Paul goes on to say, starting at verse 11, that this is true, this salvation is true for Jew and for non-Jew alike. He says, as scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So it's pretty clear that salvation through Christ is available to all. But Paul goes on to point out there are four conditions which have to be fulfilled for someone to put their trust in Jesus. We heard that in the passage, verses 14 and 15. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? So we can think of four conditions as the messenger has to be sent, the message has to be proclaimed, people have to hear the message, and the people have to believe the message. So, starting with the first condition, the messenger or the preacher has to be sent. And here, we're not just talking about, Paul talks about the preacher, it's not just the vicar or the evangelist. We are all called to proclaim God's message. We already heard the verse from Matthew that Rachel read at the beginning of the service, the Great Commission. We also sang in the first song about Jesus sending us with his message. And also, there's also the verse in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, just before Jesus ascended into heaven, when he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And it's clear from the rest of Acts that the early church assumed that that was for them too. It wasn't just the disciples. It was natural for them to share the message. And we read, for example, in Acts chapter 11, when many of the believers had to leave Jerusalem because of persecution, they spread the message about Jesus wherever they went. But who does the sending? We've just heard Jesus said, "You will be my." It was Jesus who said, "You will be my witnesses." And throughout the Bible, we see that it is God who sends people. He sends us as his messengers to our neighbors, to our families, to our friends. And there are times, too, when God sends people further afield or sends them for some specific task. And in that case, he usually sends them through his church. If we look at Acts chapter 13, when Paul and Barnabas themselves were sent, we read, "Now in the church of Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, who had been brought up with Herod Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' So after they'd fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off." The Holy Spirit spoke to the church. I'm sure he also spoke to Saul and Barnabas. And the church sent them off. And we still do that today. Members of our church here have been sent or commissioned as evangelists or missionaries. And as Tim mentioned, it's back in 1995 that Tim and I were first sent by MIE, or St. John's at that point, to serve with Wycliffe Bible Translators. And since then, we've been recommissioned by the church as we've changed our roles. But it's not only about the sender, about God sending. The person being sent needs to agree. And as I thought about this, three examples came to my mind from the Old Testament of people who God sent. The first one was Moses, who came up with a whole load of excuses as to why he couldn't possibly go to Egypt. He talked about he wasn't able to speak. He just had a whole load of excuses, which God counted every time. Then there's Jonah, who ran away, went off in completely the opposite direction in an attempt to get out of having to go where God was sending him. And then there's Isaiah, who recognized his own sin, but he was willing to go. We read in Isaiah 6, this is Isaiah talking, "Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." He then goes on to say, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Which one are we of those three people? Which one resembles us the most? Are we willing to go where God is sending us, whilst at the same time recognizing our own inadequacies, our own weaknesses, and our need of God to do what he's calling us to do? The last verse that we heard in our passage today was a quote from Isaiah again, where Paul says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." And I think this is a reminder to us that it is a privilege to be sent as God's messengers, the messengers of Almighty God. That passage, that verse is actually from the context of the good news. The good news in that context was being brought back from exile. But Paul is taking it to mean the good news from the liberation of sin and of freedom through faith in Christ. So, the first condition was the messenger needs to be sent, but also the message needs to be proclaimed. The first thing I think we need to be clear about is, what is this message? If we look at verse 14 and verse 17, we see that it's the message about Jesus. He's talking about people declaring that Jesus is Lord. I found that actually in the New Living Translation, it was a little bit more explicit that that was the message. Verse 14 says, "And how can they hear about him," Jesus, "unless someone tells them? And in verse 17, so faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. So the good news about Jesus needs to be told. And as we see throughout the Bible, from Genesis right through to Revelation, God wants the message to be proclaimed to the whole world. And that's why, as a church, we send and support people and organisations who are doing just that. For example, the Hafensteins in Nepal through their work with UMN, Kagera Christian Theological College training evangelists. And also, as you've already heard, for Tim and myself with Wycliffe, Bible translators, whose goal is to make God's word, God's message, available to everyone in a language that they understand. And even though we're now based here in the UK, we continue to support others who are directly involved in translating the Bible into other languages, so that the good news about Jesus, this message, can be proclaimed to many different people groups in West and Central Africa. And here in the UK, we have many opportunities to proclaim God's message in so many different ways. As a church, we proclaim it Sunday by Sunday, but also through Alpha, through Exploring Christianity courses, and many other ways. And what about us as individuals? Do we see it as our role to be telling the good news to those who haven't heard it? Let's encourage each other to have confidence in the message and to be ready to seize the opportunities that God gives us to proclaim his message of salvation. So the messenger sent, the message proclaimed, but people need to really hear. It's not enough to simply have the message proclaimed. If people are to really hear, then the message needs to be understandable. Of course, as I've said, that includes being in a language that they understand. But that, even that, is not enough. The message needs to connect with them. And we see many examples of that in the early church. When Stephen preached to the Jews just before he was killed, he started his sermon in the Old Testament because that was familiar to his audience. Whereas when Paul, when he was speaking in Corinth to a largely non-Jewish audience, he started with the altar to the unknown God that he'd seen in the city. And of course, what better example for us than Jesus himself, who started where people were, who talked in parables, talked about things that were familiar to the people around him. And we find another important factor in people connecting to the message and so being able to really hear it on the day of Pentecost. There were people gathered in Jerusalem from many different countries, and God enabled the disciples to speak in the languages of the places they came from. But actually, most of those people, if not all, could understand Greek. If they were in Jerusalem, most of them would have been able to use Greek, understand it more or less. But it wouldn't have had the same impact if they'd heard the disciples speaking in Greek, that they heard it in their own language. That's true still today. Whether it's a Nao speaker, one of the language groups that Tim works with in Ivory Coast, who is fairly fluent in French, or whether it's a Welsh speaker living in London, when God speaks in a language that is relevant to people's daily lives, that gives a powerful message about his love and his interest in the whole world. And again, for some people, really hearing a message is not easy if it's just dry words, whether they're written or whether they're spoken. For some people, the message needs to come as a song or in some other art form. And again, that is as true for some people here in the UK as it might be in Congo or in Senegal. Just think of the variety of ways in which our government tries to get messages across. Leaflets, illustrations, videos, radio sketches, all sorts of ways to connect to the most, to make it appear most relevant to the most people. So if we want people to hear, really hear the message of the good news, then we need to use a variety of ways to proclaim it. So the messenger is sent, the message is proclaimed, people have really heard, But there's a final condition. People need to believe. As we all know, intellectual understanding is not enough. I can understand a message, but I can choose to ignore it. It doesn't necessarily make any difference to my life. And as I mentioned earlier, for Paul and his audience, believe in your heart wasn't just about emotion, it was about the will as well. It's a choice. We can do all we can possibly do to proclaim the message in a way that enables people to really hear. But that's no guarantee that they will believe it and that they will call on the Lord's name and be saved. That made me think of the proverb, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And we mustn't ignore the role of God. It's his message. He's the one who sends. He's the one who calls people to himself, who shows them their need of forgiveness. And he is the one who enables the messengers. So for those of us who have believed the good news about Jesus in our hearts and have declared that he is Lord, let's remember that our role is to proclaim this good news to others as best we can so that they can really hear it. And at the same time, be praying that God will work in their hearts by his Holy Spirit. For those who aren't yet at that point, I encourage you to keep listening, to ask questions, to come along to events such as Exploring Christianity, to be ready to hear the good news that Jesus came and died to give us all the possibility of being saved.